Our word today will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. So our first word today is from John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of God for us today. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos, and in these lay many invalids, people who were blind and lame and paralyzed. And one man who was there had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been there for a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man said to him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." And at once the man was made well, and he took up his mat, and he began to walk. Our second word for today comes from Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. Again, that's Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. I'm going to start a couple verses ahead because I want you to understand. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and when they'd come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed it was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Let us pray. Holy God, we pray that your Spirit would fall afresh upon us. Be gracious and merciful to us, O God, and help us to hear your word for us today. Let it fall afresh upon us and renew us and equip us for the work ahead. So 2 weeks ago, we heard about Simon Peter and how he preached the gospel to the Gentiles, just as God had instructed him. We heard about how God is unstoppable and ever-changing. How the Holy Spirit is blowing and moving through us and in us, shaping us always into the disciples that He's called us to be. But are we ready? Are we ready for what God has called us to do, where God has called us to serve? Just this week, we're celebrating graduation of many of our young folk. Maybe they're worried about where they're supposed to go next and what they're supposed to do next. We often worry when we're on new territory, new ground, as to where we might be going, how God might be leading us. We want to know exactly where we're supposed to be, where God is calling us. We want, in many cases, all the answers up front. But that's not how God works. Just isn't. I'd like to be able to tell you that He gives us a very clear roadmap every step of the way. And indeed, He does give us the steps. But He gives them one at a time. Often, keeping us in the dark until He knows we're ready. Here in our first story, we find a man who's waited for 38 years. And I have to imagine that in those 38 years, he's asked himself, "Where are you, God? What are you doing?" Perhaps he's even asked, "Are you even there, God?" Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you thought, "God, are you even here? Are you listening? Do you hear me? What are you up to?" And sometimes change can sound perhaps exciting, especially if it's we're going to a new place, maybe to travel, some new adventure. For our seniors that are graduating from high school and college, it does seem exciting, especially if we know that we're bound for university or we've got a job waiting for us. We're ready to embark into new territory, some new adventure. But even those places that are exciting for us at times can be scary. And even if we're not on the cusp of graduation, or a new job, or a new place to live, perhaps we're simply in a new phase of life, whatever that might be. Or perhaps we feel like we're stagnant and not moving. Is the Holy Spirit still with us? I have to think that our man by the pool probably thought the latter, that nothing about his situation was ever going to change or ever be any different, because it had been that way for 38 years. Why would it change today? Why would it change from one day to the next? And yet, it did. And why did it change? Because someone saw him. In this particular case, it was Jesus who saw him. Now, what we didn't hear about this story is this is a point in which Jesus is challenged for healing on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, who we all know are the characters that play a very important role because they're always the religious leaders who are questioning whether or not Jesus is actually doing the work of God or if he's just some rogue teacher who's messing everything up. We obviously know the answer to that question. at least in terms of Scripture, but we still struggle with the same questions today. When are we looking at someone who's gone rogue, or when are we looking at somebody who's being led indeed by the Holy Spirit? Or perhaps we ask ourselves, does the Holy Spirit even exist anymore? Sometimes in some churches, you'd think that folks are scared of saying those two words, Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is real, and the Holy Spirit does exist. And what I've told the other two churches is also know that if the Holy Spirit is real and that Spirit exists, then so does the enemy. And you better believe that both of them are steadily working. Don't think that either the Holy Spirit or the enemy is sitting down and taking a rest, because that's not how it works. And if you think the enemy is not real, you come talk to me for a few minutes and I'll tell you about how I know the enemy is real, because I've seen it. Did I tell you I was a journalist for 16 years? I've been in prisons. I've seen folks get on a witness stand and talk about murdering somebody like they're talking about changing out clothes out of the dryer. So I'm here to tell you, the enemy is real. And sometimes, especially in this country, we don't claim that enough. Now, I'm not saying that to give the enemy power. What I'm saying is you better know that even in your comfort zone, when you're sitting on the couch watching YouTube, the enemy's at work. I'd like to honestly think sometimes more at work in those moments than you would realize. Have you watched YouTube lately? Not very good stuff, I'm just saying. Not high quality entertainment, most of it. Just telling you. But here, in our book, we hear good words. Even if it's not about the man who's been sitting by the well knowing all the answers. For 38 years, he's waited. For 38 years, people have walked past him. He's repeatedly tried to make it to the pool that's just a few feet away so that he can feel some relief. And each time he's trampled or ignored as if he's invisible, as if he doesn't even exist. How many times have you been in the grocery store and not paid a lick of attention to the person checking out your groceries? Not looked at the person because you're so busy with what you've got to do. I've done it a million times if I've done it once. No one sees the man at the pool. They're too busy worried about their own problems and their own ailments and taking care of themselves than they are to pay any attention to him and what he might need. But Jesus steps in, thank God, and saves him. Not for something earth-shattering, but because he sees him. Jesus knows the man exists, and he knows what he has struggled with, and he heals him. Does he take him down to the pool? No, he simply says, get up and walk, which requires some trust on the part of the man that's been waiting for the healing. But he gets up and he walks. Because something in what this person has said to him, this man in front of him named Jesus has said to him, he believes. Somehow, spirit talks to spirit and he knows he's been healed. Now that is miraculous. And spirit is still talking to spirit today. If you have a vision or a dream, or you think that God is leading you somewhere, share it with somebody, with another believer. Ask somebody you trust to help you discern if it is God's will, and I guarantee you the answer will be given. Sometimes we don't want to claim these things because maybe some folks will call us crazy. Maybe they'll say we're silly for believing such crazy things. Sometimes people say that Scripture is for those who are weak-minded. Oh yeah, I hear that. Just because I'm a pastor, don't think I don't hear the same stuff you do. And as a woman preacher, sometimes I hear it a little bit more. You ain't got no business up there in that pulpit, some might say. Maybe I don't. But I believe God's called me here. Some days I don't know what I'm doing. Some days, unfortunately, I get lost even with a GPS in my car. So sorry. But here in Acts, what happens? The disciples, they're going from place to place, and all of a sudden, though, they're starting to hit roadblocks. They're not allowed into Asia. They go from one town to the next, and they're being told not to go there. And then Paul has a dream, sees a vision. And they don't even wait. This is what amazes me about this story. They get up immediately and begin to go to Macedonia. You know, I'm one that's, y'all don't even want to know how long it took me for me to understand that God was calling me to be a preacher. I was in seminary for a decade. And for that entire decade, I was struggling with whether or not God was calling me to this work. And some days I still struggle. Because I don't feel like I'm worthy of wearing this stole. Because I know where my broken places are. I know where my sins are. I know where my skeletons are, and I've got them. I'm not perfect by any means. Do you ever wonder that yourself? Who am I, God? Who am I to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit to be led to do your work? And each one of us are. It doesn't matter if you wear a stole or not. When you go and work at Thornwell, work with children, when you go to the grocery store, when you are at Thornwell as one of those children, you are still His servant, called to be Christ to others. So Paul and the disciples, they knew this. In some ways, maybe they knew it more clearly than we know it today. They didn't ignore the vision. They didn't try to explain it away, attribute it to something else. They knew that that was God saying, go to Macedonia as I have called you. So they immediately got up and they went. Now, they didn't know who they were going to find when they got there. Maybe they didn't even know exactly how they were going to get there. I don't know how far it is from where they were to Macedonia. I didn't look it up on a map. But I'm guessing that there were a lot of things they didn't know about their journey. But they knew they were supposed to go, so they went. We're not always going to have the answers to the questions when we want them in the way that we want them. We think that we can pray to God and that God will give us the answers exactly the way we want them packaged. No. I hate to break it to you, but that's not how it works. Trust me. I've said the prayers too, Lord Jesus, just tell me what it is you're wanting me to do. What am I supposed to do when I get there? I'm going to Africa this fall. Half the trip is already paid for. And I don't even know what I'm going to do when I get there. I had to look it up on a map, this place called Kenya in Nairobi, where we're going to be landing at an airport in October. I've never studied anything about Africa. But I think the Lord has called me to go, so I'm going. Paul and the disciples, when they were called to Macedonia, they went. Because we're always going to have questions. When they got there, they knew then why they were called. When they got to that riverbank and they met Lydia, maybe then it became clear to them. The same happens to us today. Next Sunday, we will celebrate Pentecost. And I like to celebrate Pentecost because it gives us an opportunity to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit. In a lot of Presbyterian churches, you don't always talk about the Holy Spirit. Certainly not as a present force today. One that still speaks in visions. One that still talks to us in dreams. One that still leads us just as it did more than 2,000 years ago. Just because Scripture is contained nice and neat in this book, do not mistake that to mean that God is contained completely in it as well. God is still moving in us and amongst us today, still calling forward prophetic voices. Not necessarily to add to Scripture. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm telling you is, the Holy Spirit is still working and moving among us just as He did 2,000 years ago. And the world might laugh. They might try to explain it away with science, and I'm all for science. I think it's God's gift to us to help us understand the world. But make no mistake about it, there are things beyond our understanding that still exists in the world today. If you don't believe me, go to a hospital and sit at the bed of somebody who's taken their last breaths. There, oftentimes, the veil becomes very thin. It becomes clear that God is still moving in His people. God is still at work in us and through us. Maybe we're anxious about how God is working in us, what God is going to call us to do, who God is going to call us to be, because perhaps it's different than what we thought it was going to be. I can promise you this. I didn't know that I was going to be a preacher standing in front of you a decade ago. I was a journalist. That's what I thought I'd always been called to do. That's what I was going to retire doing. And I went kicking and screaming. But I'm glad that I listened. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit's guidance. We're not always going to have everything neat and tidy the way that we want it to be. Somebody's going to be taken from us when we least expect it. Someone we hold dear, and we're not going to understand why. Sometimes our lives are going to change in ways we never could have imagined, and we're going to ask why. Sometimes we're going to be called to Macedonia instead of where we thought we were supposed to go, and we're going to ask why. And sometimes we'll get an answer when we want it. Sometimes we're not. Because the answers are given at God's timing, at God's pleasure. And honestly, if God had answered me when I wanted the answers, I would never have started this journey in the first place. Because if I had known 10 years ago what I was going to deal with in 2020, I wouldn't have stepped foot out of my couch. I'd have said, not only no, but heck no, I ain't doing it, Jesus. Nope, I'm not signing up for that mess. Y'all know what 2020 was like. If he had told me then what I was going to deal with 10 years later, I'd have said thanks, but no thanks. I'll stay right where I'm at because I'm comfortable and I know what I'm supposed to do. But guess what? I would have been miserable. I can tell you that. I would have been miserable if I had stayed where I thought I was comfortable 10 years ago. I am grateful to be here. Even on days when I'm not sure where I'm going and I get lost, and I've made you wait longer than I wanted to, I'm still grateful to be here and among you, with you, walking alongside of you, hoping and praying that together we will move forward as a family to serve God. Yes, hopefully to grow numbers and budgets, that would be nice. But it's about seeing the man at the pool. It's not about the budgets or the bodies or even the building. It's about seeing others around us and taking the time to see others around us. So let us not worry about the why. Let us trust that God has it all in His hands. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we are grateful for Your presence, for the power of Your Spirit. Renew within us and rekindle within us a faith that is strong and energetic and creative, not for our sakes, but for Yours. Let us be passionate about our faith and our love for You. Let us move from this place to go out into Your world to be Your church out there for those who need You the most. For those like the man at the pool who think that they're invisible, help us to show them that they are not invisible and that they indeed matter to You. Help us to be Your light in the world wherever You call us to go, whatever You call us to do, whatever You call us to be, even if it takes us outside of ourselves and our own desires and needs. In Your name we pray, in the name of our Savior and Your Son, Jesus Christ, we say, Amen.